that is Satan's most successful area of getting men and women to the eternal hell with him. The area of counterfeit, fake, false this, false preachers, false churches, and whatever. Now, let us look on the business of you have we talk about an apostle, and watch here now. The apostle of Christ. Now, I'm making a distinction here. Not that I'm making it, there is a distinction. An apostle, the word means specially sent. That is the meaning of apostle. It means one who is specially sent. I want to get this, everyone. The word an apostle can be applied to any person that is specially sent. But now, either we are an apostle of Christ. Let me remove the and put the same on, an apostle of Christ. This is the point that, remember, when you say apostle or an apostle, that means one who is specially sent. And that can be used generally to refer to anyone that is specially sent. An apostle of Christ is what now we are going to look how it is used. We turn first to the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1. Yes, it is chapter 1 from around verse 9. Give me a minute.
Well, verse 20.
Verse 20 is Yes, verse 20 is appropriate. Yes, a good verse to start. Listen, because just this one passage going to shine a lot of light on those who are referred to as apostles of Christ. And it's important as Christian that you understand this and that you mark your Bible. Okay? Let us hear it.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
Could we instead, verse 20 is a great place to start, but verse 15, start there.
And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained...
Wait, notice. There are a lot of things here that it's easy to overlook. He was numbered with us. Us who? This is referring to the close followers of Jesus Christ. And it is talk about Judas who sold Christ and ultimately hanging himself. Uh-huh.
For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry.
That is the apostolic ministry. Uh-huh.
Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity.
Notice how Luke, who is the writer of Acts, is describing. Now this man who? Judas, who betrayed Christ, purchased, that is a piece of land, with the reward, the 30 pieces of silver he got, he went and purchased a piece of land. Uh-huh.
Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out.
You see, Luke, give us detail that we don't want. He's telling us the terrible way that Judas died. And it's a wicked act to have betrayed Jesus Christ, an innocent, sinless person. Read on.
And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood.
That is the name given to that piece of land. Uh-huh. Read.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
This is Psalm 69, verse 25, and Psalms 109, verse 8. May I? What a great God. These Psalms were spoken or written about 900 years before Christ. And when David spoke these words, it was in reference to event that would not take place for another 900 years. Read on.
Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied...
Listen, listen now.
Wherefore, of these men
of
which...
Of these men, you see, he's touching now on the point of selecting somebody to take Judas's place. Judas was an apostle of Christ. He, through his sinful, wicked act, died terribly. Peter is now, it is God's will that there be 12 apostles. Paul going to come into play, in a sense, to make the 13th apostle. But somebody have to take Judas's place. Peter is dealing with that now. Start that verse again.
Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection.
I wonder if everyone is noting something that you shouldn't overlook. The person to take Judas's place cannot be just any and any disciple. Have you noticed it here?
Yes.
Wherefore, verse 21. Of these men which have accompanied with us. Us who? Those men who followed Jesus Christ throughout his ministry closely. It cannot be just any and any person to be an apostle. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us
all the time
that the Lord Jesus went in and out with us, beginning from the baptism of John and to the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his what?
Resurrection.
Of his what?
Resurrection.
Of his what?
Resurrection.
An apostle of Christ must be a person who can testify that I saw Jesus Christ with my eyes after he was resurrected. He must have that qualification. And this passage has just stated that. But this is not the only passage. He must, this is important, that men and women today claiming that they are apostles, not apostles of Christ. If you are going to be an apostle, here from verse 21 to verse 22, it is laying down the God standard to be an apostle of Christ. But we are not through. In fact, go on. Please go on, brother.
And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen.
Notice again, the Almighty God had to be involved in almost a direct way in choosing an apostle of Christ. You see, they didn't just take it up and say, you know, we think this one is the appropriate person. They pray to God, and the Almighty God going to demonstrate which one is chosen. But may I? one of the things that should really stay with us is the fact that whoever is chosen would have been a faithful, consistent follower of Jesus Christ from Christ started his ministry. Have you seen that? Yes, in these two or three verses, it points out the person must have been one of us. All the time that Jesus Christ went in and went out, from the baptism of John up until. So it's not just any half-hearted follower. It's a committed follower of Christ that must be chosen. Read on.
That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship.
Not that he may take part
of this ministry.
Of this ministry and apostleship. Read.
From which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
You notice also, not that he was numbered with the 120. That's the amount of disciples that were in the upper room. The emphasis here is apostle of Christ. He was numbered with what?
The 11.
The 11. He made 12. Not only that, the Almighty God, the cast lot. Like they drop the name and shake the box and say, shut your eye and pick one. That look way out. But you see, the Almighty God was involved in all of that. The right person was chosen. There are two people up for the job. Now, this is tick two. Anyway, let's now go to another passage. Paul defending his apostleship in the book of Corinthians. Help me find the chapter 9 now. 1 Corinthians. Just a minute. Yeah. And this is another plain passage. Yes, I mean. Yes. 1 Corinthians 9. Grow out of it, grows out of mischief. I want you to listen. It grows out of mischief. Jews who became Christian and were a part of the Church of Christ at Corinth. Many of them, though being members of the Church of Christ there, they didn't like Paul. Anybody can tell me why? Nobody knows why.
He was Saul. He persecuted the church.
The reason why Jews in the church at Corinth didn't like Paul. Paul preached against the law. And these Jews wanted to bind on Christian the law system, the Old Testament system. That was meant for the Jews, to guide the Jews to have a religious environment, at least in the world, I was about to say in part of the world, when Jesus Christ came. The Almighty God selected the Jews that they could preserve certain degree of morality, certain degree of wrong and right, certain degree of spiritual or religiousness until Jesus Christ came. After Christ came, died, buried, and resurrected, the law system, the system of the Old Testament, was no more to be used to guide people's moral, spiritual life and their relationship with God. The gospel of Jesus Christ would be that which was meant to do that work. But Paul, having been converted from Judaism, he was strong against imposing the law upon men and women. Listen, Paul, to Jews in Acts 13, verse 38 or 39. Quick. Read it aloud.
Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin.
That is through Jesus Christ. Paul is speaking. He's speaking to a Jewish audience. Through this man, that is through Christ, you have had the gospel that includes the forgiveness of sin preached to you. It is through Christ that you have that blessing. Read on.
And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses.
You see how plain it is? Paul could simply state, you are going to be saved by Christ who we have preached to you, and stop. But lest there be any misunderstanding, he not only told them how they are going to be saved, he told them that they cannot be saved by the law
of Moses.
Paul was strong against that. This is why Jews at Corinth, at Gaul, Ephesus, name it, just did not like the man. So you know what they did? We have 1 Corinthians chapter 9 before us. They go around at Corinth telling members of the church and others that Paul was not a real apostle. He's fraud. He's counterfeit. That is what was happening at Corinth. Listen to the question he asks.
Am I not an apostle?
Stop there. How comes that question? That's what his enemies, especially those among the Jews, were spreading at Corinth, so that the respect that would normally be given to men like Peter and other apostles, they didn't want that respect be given to Paul. Am I not an apostle? Read on.
Am I not free?
Am I not free?
Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?
Whoa, what that have to do with anything? What that have to do with anything? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Because that is one of the prime qualification of an apostle. You must have seen Christ with your biological eyes after He was resurrected. Notice in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 that we read, Peter pointed out he must be witness of what? Of the resurrection. An apostle must be a person who can testify that he has seen Christ physically after Christ was resurrected. That's what makes the person a witness of Christ's resurrection. And that's why Paul brought it up here. Have I not seen the Lord? Well, Paul, what does that have to do with anything, Paul? Because that is one of the qualifications of an apostle of Christ. You must have seen Jesus Christ with your eyes after Christ. You see, if you see Christ before he was resurrected, that won't make you an apostle, you know. You see, the business that came up in Acts chapter 1 about must one be chosen with us to be a witness of the resurrection. When you have seen Jesus Christ after he was resurrected, you can go about not telling what somebody tell you, but what you have seen with your own eyes.
Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord.
May I, Brother C.M. O'Neill, step down to verse 5.
Have we not power to lead about...
Now, verse 5 doesn't have any direct bearing, but it's a passage that sometimes comes in very enlightening.
Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?
What relevant this have to do with anything? Why Paul brought this up? Very important verse. Not necessary to prove apostleship, but it has meaning. Why did Peter bring this up? Anybody? Verse 5, very important verse. Very important verse. Nobody knows. Verse 5.
I would imagine that based on what you have said earlier about an apostle, generally speaking, somebody sent, I would imagine that he's saying, since they have the leadership of the gospel and to direct, I think he's basically saying they have the authority to lead some of the runnings, and in this case, as it pertains to an apostle, sending out others to preach. I'm not sure if that's...
Notice, have we not power, that is the right, to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of our Lord and Peter, Cephas is Peter. What is under consideration in this verse is that the other apostle that Paul referred to, when they go about the work of the church, those who are married brought their wives with them at the church's expense. That's what is under consideration here. Peter and others who might have visited Corinth, as they were disposed to carry their wives, Paul is saying he has that right. to take his wife with him at the church's expense. Can we move from that? I just dropped that in, and I'm glad I did, because it seems if, and you can make a study of the old context or that verse. What we wanted, however, was especially verse 1.
Very much. I was just saying, I went to the Amplified, and probably it's a little clearer. Have we not the right to take along with us a believing wife, as do the rest of the apostles and the Lord's brothers, and Cephas, Peter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that the wife is brought in there, meaning at the church's expense. May I share something with you? You know, just because I don't, while those who are part of the decision making, let me hear verse 7. Yes.
So verse 7 says, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges?
That's right. As I've said some years ago, that preacher is still alive. Because over the years, what we do, we usually ask sisters' congregation abroad to sponsor the various preacher we got here. There are times when, because of our finance limited, we would either decide to pay the preacher's plane ticket and the congregation from where he's coming pay his hotel expense. We have done that a lot. But in this case, one of our preachers, great preacher that I've come here quite a few times, and many of the preachers over the years stayed in our home. That is to help keep down expense instead of a hotel. These days, I sometimes now and again wonder how Sister Mitchell did it, because she have to prepare meal that they enjoy. Amen. She can't just prepare the average Jamaican meal. And this is over and over where we accommodate preachers. They would stay for the week and things. But in this case, we needed a particular preacher. And contact the person, and he was willing to come. And then he also let me know that he'll be bringing his wife with him. We felt, before the wife business coming, we felt we could hardly find the funds for his fear. So when he said, and it's no big thing for him that he wants to bring his wife, and I understand, you know, but we ultimately came up with the funds. I don't know if we asked others abroad to help with that fund. But my point is, he has the right, and if we ask somebody to come preach for us, be it a local person, a person living right here in Jamaica or from abroad, if that person is married and feel he wants to bring his wife with him, that is quite appropriate. And we have that responsibility. Are we all there? We are not there. Anyway, thank you. Yes, but back from where we have left. Brother Garrett, I'm sure you see the point. We have just brought in some things that is not directly related. Your question is dealing with apostle. And what we usually say, an apostle of Christ has to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. That's what everyone needs to. An apostle of Christ has to be an eyewitness of Christ's resurrection. So the lot of counterfeit religious leader going around telling you that they're apostle of Christ. If and when the apostle business come up, find out from the person, are you saying you are an apostle of Christ? And right there, you will remember that an apostle of Christ has to be an eyewitness of Christ's resurrection, meaning you must have seen Jesus Christ after he was resurrected, or else you are a fraud, you are a counterfeit. Any further question on this point? Specially sent.
Is it out of place for a Christian to say that, in a general sense, that they are being ordained to go out and spread the word, to refer to themselves as an apostle, but not necessarily as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yes. Using the word apostle in that sense is not contrary to the Bible. It can be misleading. It can give the wrong impression. Because an apostle, one specially sent, that's the meaning of the word. When you put now an apostle of Christ, mean you are specially sent by Christ. In the same way he commissioned those close followers of his to go and preach. No man or woman today is so commissioned by Christ. So while using the word generally, we must make sure we do not give a false impression. Because most time when people, you hear religious leader refer to them as an apostle, personally, if a person used that term to me in my presence, I will get the person down to the brass tackle. You said you are an apostle. Are you an apostle of Christ? Because a lot of these religious leaders don't even know the difference. You see. And if they claim to be an apostle of Christ, they are fraud. They are not. Because an apostle of Christ was meant to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. The Bible makes that very plain. Okay, somebody.
Okay. So Matt, you mentioned Matthew 8:29. And
wait, just a minute. Matthew 28:29.
No, Matthew 8:29.
Okay.
And I am sort of. It states that what do you want from me, from us, Son of God? They shouted, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Whilst I understand that Christ can change the appointed time. Obviously, from what has been said in the verse here. Am I to believe that the demons and Satan and his angel knows the appointed time?
Knows what?
The appointed time of their demise, their torture.
Okay. I was trying to remember your name, brother. Just give me your first name.
Cleve.
But in fact, let me also. I don't remember name as much as I have. Because you and I have spoken, but sooner or later, I will get the name. Cleve is Sister Bean, brother-in-law, married to Alda's daughter.
Karen.
And they are members of the church. And it's not the first or second. Over the years, they come, and we are glad to have them. Yes, Cleve. Are you to understand that Satan and his angel knows the appointed time? Cleve, they don't know the exact time, but they do know that a time is set for their torment. You know, it's like a guilty person who was found guilty and was sentenced to be electrocuted. The person is in jail. The person doesn't know the date, but the person knows that the date is coming. These followers, servant of Satan, as they have expressed in the verse, they know that a time is set for their coming. The exact time knoweth no man, not even the Son of Man, save his Father in heaven. Was I of help, Cleve? Was I of any help?
Yes. Just that what struck me is the fact that one of the demon or the demons said, where was it? And you come to torture us before the time.
Yes, it because says, they know that the time was set. But they don't know the time.
Okay.
You see, they know that the time was set for their timing. The exact time, not even Jesus Christ knew.
Okay.
Of course, Christ would have known that now. But when he was on earth, Christ acknowledged that there's something he didn't know.
Okay.
It was in God's hand. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question. Any other question? Any other question? Okay. Thank you for your input. It is our belief, my belief personally, and I'm sure most of the brothers and sisters here, that from this question we can learn so much. And that's why it is important. And that's why I appreciate the input, the question, the explanation from everyone.